This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending Friday the 1st of December 2023. Hello. And welcome to this week's edition of the Hampshire Chronicle from the Winchester and District Talking Newspaper. I am your presenter, Barbara Kearns, and today I'm accompanied in the studio by readers Nick Kearns.
Hello.
Hilary Parsons.
Hello.
And Paul Newman.
Hello.
The first thing to say is if you know of someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have a problem with the recording you have received from us, please contact us on 01962 861 229. That's 01962 861 229. This number can also be found on the key fob attached to the memory stick. However, before reporting the playback box as faulty, do make sure it is plugged in and fully charged up. As you listen to the recording, remember that you can use the buttons on your box to move on from an item before it finishes, or back to a previous track if you want to listen to it again. And for those of you with computers or tablets, as well as using your memory stick in the box, you can also access the weekly recording of the Chronicle through our website, www.winchestertalkingnews.com. Just go to the website, click on News on the header bar, locate the recording you want to hear, and click Download. The recordings are listed in date order, the most recent first on the list. Now, let's take a look at this week's edition of the Chronicle, starting with the news. Here are the headlines. Hospital car crash caused power loss. Lighting up city. Plans are revived for a Jane Austen statue. And the first headline story. Nick, please.
Hospital car crash caused power loss. Hampshire Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust has praised its workers following a critical incident at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital last week. On Thursday, November the 23rd, a Range Rover crashed into the door to a power unit on the hospital site on Romsey Road, Winchester, just before 1 p.m. No injuries were reported and the car was taken from the site after being safely removed from the building. The police are investigating. The crash caused a loss of power at the hospital, which switched to backup generators, with some wards operating under emergency lighting, and the Trust announcing a critical incident at approximately 4:18 p.m. that day. Andy Hyatt, Chief Operating Officer of Hampshire Hospitals, praised staff, saying, "Our staff did a fantastic job in helping manage the impacts of last Thursday's power outage, and we are also very grateful to the public for understanding the challenges faced by our emergency department and helping by collecting relatives and friends who were ready for discharge. Staff worked extremely hard to carry out repairs to the power unit, enabling us to revert to mains power ahead of schedule on Sunday afternoon. Thankfully, no one was hurt in the accident. We are now carrying out a review of the Trust estate. Patients were asked to only go to the emergency department in cases of an emergency, while those who had appointments were told to attend as normal." A spokesperson told the Chronicle at the time, "On Sunday at 12:45 p.m, following significant works, the mains power was restored and the incident was stood down. We continue to monitor the hospital to make sure that everything is running as it should be. We would like to thank everyone from across Hampshire Hospitals who have supported in managing the incident whilst continuing to provide care, and our patients and public for their understanding during this challenging time. Whilst power has been restored, pressure on our hospitals remains, and we continue to ask people to only attend our emergency departments at Winchester and Basingstoke if it is an emergency. People can also continue to support by making sure that their loved ones can return home as soon as the decision has been made that they are ready to be discharged. I have to say that there is a small picture that goes with this article, which shows the brick side of a building and a single door on it and a huge no entry sign above it. And there's a Range Rover with its bonnet having pushed the door wide open.
Thank you, Nick.
Lighting up city. The streets of Winchester were awash with angels as the cathedral's popular lantern event returned. The lantern parade took place at Winchester Cathedral on Friday, November the 24th, and hundreds of people took part. Carols were sung as the lanterns were judged before the crowd paraded through the high street. Hundreds of people had also come out to line the streets. Liz Ewers from Fair Oak was there with her family and a lantern decorated with angels. She said, "We came last year to watch and we enjoyed it so much that we thought we would come back this year and take part ourselves." Dan Hoare from Winchester was also there with his family, wife Jo, Nat 10 and Ivy 5. Ivy had made a Santa lantern to represent Christmas, while Dan had made an octopus, an often underrepresented nativity animal. He said, "We do something each year. It's usually an animal, but this year we have gone for an octopus." Nat said, "We have been a few times before, and I really enjoy making the lanterns and then seeing everybody else's." People had come from far and wide for the event. Anne Bannister and her friend Sue Avery from Reading were making a night of it. They had made an angel out of a pillowcase. Anne said, "We saw it on the news last year and we thought we would come and find out for ourselves what it's like. It's great." Judging was undertaken by Canon Gary Philbrick, Canon Rowley Riam and Canon Tess Quinn Lawton. Canon Gary encouraged everybody to think about the church motto this month, which was "Love was born at Christmas." Winchester College Brass Band played some rousing numbers while deliberations were made before Canon Rowley declared the winners. He said, "I have been looking around and it has been brilliant. I have seen flying tortoises, beautifully recycled milk cartons and a jellyfish umbrella. Well done for everyone's imagination and ingenuity." He thanked the new carnival company and Play to the Crowd for their help in putting together the event, as well as South Wanston Youth Theatre. Third prize of chocolate went to twins Ava Lee and Rosie Smith, 9, for their turtle doves. Second prize went to the Webster family for their Angel of the Sea boat lantern. And first prize went to the Bailey family for lantern depiction of a man sheltering a dachshund dog.
Plans to put up a life-size statue of Jane Austen at Winchester Cathedral along the path of her funeral cortege have resurfaced. It is hoped the statue will be erected in 2025 in the Inner Close, next to number 9, to mark the 250th anniversary of her birth in 1775. It is not the first time that plans for a Jane Austen memorial have been proposed. A previous plan was scrapped in 2019 after public feedback on the design. Today, after years of work, the project has resurfaced with a more elegant design by the same sculptor, Martin Jennings. As the first pictures emerged of the proposed statue in a maquette form, Canon Rowley Roland Rehm, Vice Dean at Winchester Cathedral, said the cathedral chapter is delighted to be reviving this project in a greatly revised form as a lasting contribution to the 250th anniversary of Jane Austen's birth. As Martin Jennings has recently been trusted with the King's portrait, so I hope he will be trusted to deliver a stunning memorial sculpture of Austen for Winchester and Hampshire. What a joy it will be for its visitors from 2025 to meet there a woman confident of her place at the table of Britain's greatest novelists. Martin is a notable sculptor who also created the statue of John Betjeman at St Pancras railway station, unveiled in 2007, and the statue of Philip Larkin at Hull Paragon Interchange Station was presented in 2010. He also designed the first official coin and postage stamp portraits of King Charles III. Martin said, "I will do everything I can to help this project succeed. Success for me means making a work of art which honours Jane Austen and pays tribute to her links with this city and its cathedral. The cathedral's historical collection of sculpture mostly recognises the achievements of men. So I'm very glad to have the opportunity to add a representation of this justly celebrated woman. The 5 feet 7 inch statue will represent her rising from her table at her home in Chawton as someone arrives at the door, moving in front of her work as if to disguise it, as she kept her writing private." Martin said, "From reading her novels, I wanted to give a sense of the moral vision running through them all. Perhaps this is most expressed in the sculpture, in her posture and gaze. By erecting a bronze statue of her in a location of such distinction, we hope to communicate her moral vision and literary genius not only to today's visitors, but to future generations as well." The project has already attracted commendations from artists, academics and literacy experts. Hampshire County Council is set to support the £100,000 plan because it hopes it will attract visitors to the county. A grant of £10,000 is being proposed by the leader and executive member for Hampshire 2050, Councillor Rob Humby. The statue will cost £100,000, made up of £60,000 for the design and model, and a further £40,000 for casting and installation. A total of £73,000 has been raised from private donations, and a contribution of £10,000 has been sought from Winchester City Council. Jane Austen died in 1817 in Winchester after writing titles such as Sense and Sensibility, 1811, Pride and Prejudice, 1813, Mansfield Park, 1814, Emma, 1815, Persuasion, 1817, and Northanger Abbey, also 1817. She is widely accepted to be Britain's greatest female novelist. She also has links across Hampshire with connections to Basingstoke and Chawton. She is buried in the north nave aisle of Winchester Cathedral under a memorial stone. A period of consultation will now take place, with a new website being launched by the cathedral soon to allow the public to view the plans and submit comments. And a series of consultation meetings are set to take place with the consultation, which is due to end on March 31st next year.
Thank you. That concludes the headline stories. I'll go on now with the death notices, and Nick will follow with Christian comment. The death notices. Broughton, Karen Jennifer, passed away peacefully at home on the 13th of November 2023, aged 76 years. Della, Kenneth, passed away on the 13th of November 2023, aged 90, at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital, where he was well cared for. Doherty, Michael, known as Mick, passed away at home on the 18th of November 2023, aged 71, reunited with the late Sally Ann. Edwards, Christine, passed away at Brackenlea Residential Home, Winchester, on the 12th of November 2023, aged 95 years. Holmes, Eileen Ann, passed away on the 7th of November 2023 at home in Clanfield, aged 84. Johnson, Gillian Ann, known as Jill, passed away peacefully on the 9th of November 2023, aged 83 years. Johnson, John Timothy, Johnny, of Bishop's Waltham, passed away on the 18th of November 2023. Knight, Alec, the Very Reverend Dr. Alec Knight, OBE, KSG. 1983 to 1991, priest in charge, Eastern and Martyrworthy. 1990 to 1998, Archdeacon of Basingstoke. 1991 to 1998, Canon Resident, Winchester Cathedral. And 1998 to 2006, Dean of Lincoln. Dr. Knight died peacefully at home on the 21st of November 2023 after a courageous fight with cancer. Pritchard, June Rose. Peacefully on the 9th of November 2023, aged 94. Scott, Roy. Passed away peacefully at Winchester Hospice on Thursday the 9th of November, aged 87. Tennant, Wendy, passed away at Southampton General Hospital on the 6th of November 2023, aged 86 years. Vining, Valerie Ann, Val, passed away peacefully on Wednesday the 15th of November, aged 80 years. Wallace, Leslie, Edgar, passed peacefully on the 11th of November 2023, aged 93 years. Christian comment has been written by the Reverend Philip Crinks this week. The title is Waiting in Hope. Thank you, Nick.
At the beginning of Advent in 2007, the then Archbishop of York, Dr. John Centenu, appeared on the Andrew Marr Show. A major summit of European and African leaders was due to take place in Lisbon, but a row had broken out about whether Robert Mugabe, the then President of Zimbabwe, should be allowed to attend. Under pressure from Angola and other African countries, Mugabe was invited. This was despite the fact that he was in principle banned from entering under EU sanctions. Gordon Brown, then Prime Minister, boycotted the summit in protest. Archbishop John agreed to be interviewed by Marr and, as you may remember, he did something pretty extraordinary. Looking into the camera, he produced a pair of scissors, took off his clerical collar and cut it up. Mugabe, he said, has taken people's identity and cut it in pieces. The collar is what identifies me as a clergyman, and I'm not going to wear it until Mugabe is gone. This symbolic act can be understood as an expression of Advent hope. Advent hope is courageous resistance against darkness, against evil, and against despair. It is a posture in which we wait for the Lord, a posture of readiness, of alertness for God's coming. That means we do not delay putting ourselves right with God and with our neighbours. We do not delay accepting his healing and redemption for our past hurts. In the passage which will be read in many churches on Sunday, it is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his people in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. For we do not know when the owner of the house will return. In the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn. But come he will. And there is no part of our lives which the Lord cannot reach. no situation in our family, our community, our city, or our world which is in the end beyond God's grace, however hopeless it may appear now. 10 years later, Mugabe's long rule was over. The Archbishop was back on the Marshall. The cut-up collar, kept for a decade in an envelope on the presenter's desk, was offered to Archbishop John. But he politely declined the offer of sellotaping the old collar and putting it back on. That would be the wrong kind of symbol. He said it would underestimate the transformation needed in Zimbabwe. I will put on a completely fresh collar. The new president has got to remember something more is needed now than stitching back together the pieces of the old. This coming Advent calls us to a radical renewal, not a quick stitch-up. It calls us to be ready and waiting for the future. All that that will bring, until one day we will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and he will send out the angels and gather us in from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. So we will pray, especially for the coming weeks. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. And that was from the Reverend Philip Crinks.
Thank you, Nick. And now this week's letters to the editor. Hilary, can you start us off with Wrong Way, please?
This letter was sent in by Peter Lydiard from Parchment Street, Winchester. Wrong Way. Further to Bill Ledbetter's letter about parking permits being taken over by Hampshire County Council, you will need to apply for a permit online, as reported in the Chronicle November the 23rd. So, you will need access to a computer, access to the internet, probably access to a telephone. I had to ring because the system could not find my address. Why? Access to a scanner. You have to send them a copy of your council tax bill. Lots of time and endless patience. If you buy a visitor permit, you will have to change vehicle registration online each time it is used. So good luck. Obviously a move in the right direction. Not. That was sent by Peter Lydiard, Parchment Street, Winchester.
The next letter is from Stan Murphy of Abbots Barton, and it's a thank you letter. Last Friday I fell off my bicycle at the junction of North Walls and Middlebrook Street, cut my face and hands and badly bruised my knee. I was picked up by a very kind woman called Kate, who with her son and girlfriend insisted on helping me to my home in Abbots Barton, and also persuaded me to ring a friend for some help. They were so kind, but in the confusion of it all I forgot to get her contact details, so all I can do is send this message of appreciation. Thank you, Kate. You were a wonderful support. The world is a better place for having you in it. Stan Murphy, John La Road, Abbots Barton.
Tony Gaster writes about Space Race. We have an excellent sixth form college at Simmons and an excellent primary school at St Bede, yet both seem to lack space. I have an idea. Now that the art school is part of Southampton University, it could move to Southampton and be integrated into that campus. That would release a lot of space to give Simmons and St Bede. Would it not be better to have a Simmons 2 but towards the south side of the city? We have to find innovative solutions for the future of our city. There might also then be space where the old police station was for a car park. Well, that's from Tony Gaster, Old Kennels Lane, Oliver's Battery, Winchester.
This is Loving Home, sent by Jennifer L. Sheridan, Manor Close, Winnall. If you are thinking of getting a pet as a Christmas present, please adopt one from a charity rather than buying one. Among the advantages are, for example, the charity will have assessed it only, not only medically and physically, but also as to what sort of home it would be suitable for. For example, one with no other pets or one with access to outside space. Best of all, an often frightened, bewildered, homeless animal will be given a loving new place to live. Jennifer Sheridan, Manor Close, Winnall.
Massive step. George Spencer of Anstey Road in Alton writes, "In 20 minutes on November the 15th, the Planning Committee of Winchester City Council approved Winchester City Football Club's planning application. This is a massive step in the right direction, not just for the club, but for local football and the community as a whole. The new artificial pitch will allow more people to play on it, not just the first team, but all manner of others, including the Flyers and youth teams. As a result, it will massively benefit football in the community without the need to check the weather forecast from the beginning of October. In addition, the ability to hire the pitch out will provide a major secondary source of income for the club that they can use to grow and go to the next level." George Spencer, Anstey Road, Alton.
Strife of Pie. In 1897, Bill number 246 was put before the Indiana General Assembly to set the irrational mathematical constant pi to be a rational number. It required the chance presence of a mathematics professor to prevent its passing into law. Only in America? The UK Supreme Court ruled, as a matter of fact, that Rwanda could not be deemed to be a safe place to send refugees. Rishi Sunak proposes to make a law that declares the fact not to be a fact. We are seeing much of Flick Drummond lately, but not hearing what she thinks. I asked some weeks ago in your columns if she was prepared to go along with Sunak's abandonment of climate commitments and his moves to prevent action against air pollution. She hasn't said anything to the contrary. Does she now sign up to changing facts by law? Will she vote for it? If Ms. Drummond were to be elected as Winchester's MP next year, would she think for herself, or would we have another Vicar of Bray, rubber stamping every bit of unpleasant legislation dreamt up in Downing Street? We have a right to know. And that letter is from Chris Gillam, Upper High Street, Winchester.
This letter sent in by Jane Rutter, the chair of Winchester City Council Planning Committee, Homes Debate. As chair of Winchester City Council's Planning Committee, I do not as a rule comment on articles or letters in your pages. However, the letter in last week's Chronicle from Conservative group leader Carolyn Horrell does require a response. As one of the Liberal Democrat councillors who voted in favour of development at Dyson Drive, I was very disappointed by Councillor Horrell's letter. She failed to note that the only councillors who voted for the application were Liberal Democrats, that all of the Conservative councillors on the committee voted against, and that if the Conservative councillors had voted in favour, the application would have been approved. Since the Liberal Democrats took control, more council houses have been built than in the previous 8 years under the Conservatives. Councillor Horrell is entitled to her own views, but she is not entitled to ignore inconvenient facts. I would add that the vote did demonstrate beyond a shadow of doubt that the decisions of the Planning Committee are made on our interpretation of the Council's planning policies alone, untarnished by any other considerations. Jane Rutter, Chair, Winchester City Council Planning Committee.
State Affairs is the title given to Stephen Hanvey's letter. The astute analysis by George Hayter of the poor leadership qualities of our current Prime Minister
betrays a deeper fault. The underlying expectation that a Winchester College education will automatically render any head boy from this privileged bastion instant head of state material prolongs the heavily tarnished myth of private education as the rightful route to any top job. A cursory consideration of the educational backgrounds, competences, and records of three most recent male prime ministers will quickly disabuse anyone of such servile expectation. Let's look to future premiers from one of three excellent state schools with which Winchester is blessed: the Westgate, Henry Beaufort, and King's School. Stephen Hanway, Week, Winchester.
Nicky Windrum has found some festive joy. I have been compelled to write to express my pure joy at the performance of A Christmas Carol, presented by the Chesil Theatre on November the 8th. We need to ensure we support our local theatres who help nurture so much talent. The play was put on by seven actors with the help of some cheeky puppets. Duncan Lay as Scrooge was magnificent, wholly engaging, and showing the character's wide range of emotions. A special mention also goes to Karen Fitzsimmons, who at one point acted about 10 different accents in one speech. Brilliant! The play was truly delightful, providing lots of laughter and a great way to start the Christmas season. My 12-year-old left telling the staff, "That was the best play I have ever seen." High praise indeed. And that one's from Nicky Windrum, Wessex Drive, Week, Winchester.
This letter sent by Tanya Fowler from Oliver's Battery in Winchester. Helped home. I visited the Cathedral Christmas Market on November the 20th, and while there, I was suddenly taken unwell, unable to walk straight and staggering as if drunk. My heartfelt thanks to the gentleman and the lady stallholder who came to my help, finding me a seat and asking if they could contact anyone. I would like them to know that I got home safely and was taken to A&E, where investigations showed that I had had a TIA and am now undergoing tests and treatment. And that's from Tanya Fowler, Oliver's Battery in Winchester.
Shaping plans. Peter Marsh, who's chair of Winchester Labour CLP, writes, "I was interested to see how the Lib Dem Council would create genuine community engagement in the decisions the council makes. Alas, when I clicked on the link in the e-newsletter, I was taken to a technocratic 48-page document that set out limited opportunities for community engagement when a local plan is being developed. You can see how little difference there is between the Conservatives and the Liberal Democrats' approach when you read the tracked change version. Does your voice count? This section says all you need to know. Occasionally, with larger sites, there is an opportunity to become involved in the development of proposals at an early stage when potential applicants or site promoters carry out pre-application consultations. In other places, councils require applicants to demonstrate how they have already engaged the local community and how they have responded to feedback before bringing proposals forward. Here in Winchester, it seems the council is happy for developers to decide how to engage and to limit council-led community involvement to when a local plan is developed. I am no NIMBY, and a future Labour government will work to build 300,000 homes a year. So now more than ever, we need meaningful ways of engagement and involving local residents to shape the development of our district, to make sure we build homes that people need in places that cause the least harm." Peter Marsh, Chair, Winchester Labour constituency.
And our final letter this week is on a seasonal topic, Cinderella and the Stopped Clock. The clock in Winchester High Street, near the Ivy Restaurant, has been showing 1 minute to midnight for many, many weeks. Being as we're in the pantomime season, I think Cinderella is the culprit. Cinderella has been to the ball, she has danced enchantingly with the handsome prince. Cinderella has to get home before midnight. "Oh, I'm having such a lovely time at the ball," says Cinderella. "It's so romantic. The prince is really fit. I don't want it to stop. La, 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 I'm so happy." So, Cinderella has stopped the clock in Winchester High Street at 1 minute to midnight to keep her dream continuing. La, la, la. Look, Cinderella, we're all glad that you had a lovely, lovely romantic evening with the prince. But when us Winchester residents look up at this clock in Winchester High Street, we need to be able to see the correct time. If Cinderella can't fix this stop clock, then can Winchester City Council? Thank you. La, la, la. And that's from Paul Hickey, Badger Farm.
Thank you, everyone. If you have an opinion or a subject you would like to air in the Hampshire Chronicle, you can contact them on 01962 860 836. That's 01962 860 836. Or email news@hampshirechronicle, all one word, .co.uk. Or you could write an old-style letter to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. We'll continue now with editorial comment, first person, letter from Westminster and Belgarum. Now, the editor heads up her article this week with another plan for Jane Austen statue. Thank you, Hilary.
Our exclusive story today reveals Winchester Cathedral is returning with a revised plan for a Jane Austen statue. A previous proposal in 2019 was dropped after a strong public response, with the piece branded too Mills and Boon, too kitsch for such a refined setting. But the cathedral has not been deterred and has been working with the same artist, Martin Jennings. The aim is to have the statue in place outside Nine the Close by 2025, the 250th anniversary of her birth. There is no doubt that the new idea is an improvement, although the sculptor has not been able to resist a windswept look, with her skirt somehow billowing in the breeze. The cathedral says Miss Austen is getting up to answer the door. A heavy Regency dress would have been unlikely to move in such a fashion, especially when worn by so genteel a person, who also presumably has servants to do that sort of thing. The cathedral needs to pay its own way, and there is no doubt that a statue of Jane Austen would attract tourists to bring in vital revenue to pay for the building's upkeep. The ball is now in the public's court. We will see what people think. Write to letters@hampshirechronicle.co.uk.
Joanna Lewis goes with the flow in first person this week. Here's Paul.
Smug, smug, smug. Did I mention I'm feeling smug? It's all because I've done something in November I thought I never would. Now, I didn't grow a moustache as part of Movember, although never say never, but I did change the pattern of a lifetime. It all began on Halloween. News came through early evening that one of the large discount supermarkets was manically stripping the shelves of their stacks of ridiculous merchandise for all things ghoulish and witchy. In their place, a mass of Christmas decoration was incubating and already populating the aisles on October the 31st. This latest intelligence about crimes against the festive period, namely its hyper-commercialisation and premature merchandising, sent me into a tailspin of moral outrage. Of course, not as much as the grotesquely inappropriate plans for Wishfield Camp that threatened the precious habitat and green space. But still, I was spitting turkey feathers and my baubles were doing the fandango. Inappropriate retailing had been spotted by yours truly, dear reader, since the end of August. Lurking in corner aisles or predating lonely standalone displays. The sunken snow globes, offensive green multi-tack pack tinsel, plastic trees made in China, sinister Santa gnomes, synthetic Christmas jumpers that not even Kim Jong-un's biggest nuclear warhead could biodegrade. But what if I prepped Christmas in November? Instead of being angry at something I couldn't change, go with it. So here I am at the start of December, all gifts bought, all cards written, and completely decked up. Confession, it feels fantastic. No more feeling behind everyone else. No more the last-minute panic-buying tizzy laced with Baileys and debt. Who can afford to buy all their postage stamps in one go these days? How much? And I'm not alone, it seems. More trees are up in homes earlier. When are the Christmas lights coming on, we wonder. We need cheer, we need sparkle, we need some fun. So if you can, make December a little more about enjoying the eternal beauty of wintry Winchester. Catch up with friends, even the annoying ones. Find time for a musical treat at the cathedral with your local choir. Do something charitable. Help the Salvation Army. Find a small way to follow the wonderful example of Winchester Rotary. As last week's Chronicle reported, they've raised a whopping £30,000 for Hope Street and Trinity Winchester, who support women suffering domestic abuse. Find a moment and reflect earlier about the deeper meaning of Christmas, to take stock of where you end the year. Really appreciate the freedom, choices and material benefits we enjoy and have worked hard for. Nationally, we end the year shaken to the core by the terror and the savagery in the Middle East. Meanwhile, many feel our values and culture under a threat as never before. We feel a slight foreboding. So maybe it's a sign of collective anxiety and uneasiness that there's an urge to mark traditions earlier, to celebrate louder what we stand for and cherish, a new comfort in midwinter rituals as a first line of defence. But we should never forget that in this world most people are not bad, most are good. And so this year, as ever, Father Christmas is going to have a very busy time. Enjoy.
It's the turn of the Winchester MP, Steve Brine, to pen a few words for us. Nick has the letter from Westminster.
The value of the UK's beauty industry is estimated at some £3.6 billion. It is boosted by the soaring popularity of treatments, such as Botox, dermal fillers or chemical peels, all known as non-surgical cosmetic procedures. This week, I led a debate in Parliament to highlight the dangers of a lack of regulation in the aesthetics sector, described to me by some as the Wild West. The British Association of Aesthetic Plastic Surgeons reported that 69% of its surgeons had seen patients with complications following temporary fillers. An estimated 900,000 Botox injections are carried out in the UK annually, leading to 3,000 complaints in 2022. Last year, new legislation gave the Secretary of State for Health the power to introduce a licensing regime in England. That is needed to improve consumer safety and reduce the risk of injury and harm arising from botched cosmetic treatments, with adequate training for practitioners, including those offering cheaper procedures online. At present, there is no compulsory training for beauty therapists, or other non-professionals who carry out non-surgical cosmetic procedures. The licensing scheme is an important step towards achieving better outcomes for the industry and consumers, and crucial to removing rogue practitioners. Safety around non-surgical cosmetic procedures was investigated last year by the Health and Social Care Committee. We urged the government then to bring in a licensing regime by July 2023 with minimum training and qualification standards for practitioners. It would end the situation we see now where anyone can administer non-surgical cosmetic procedures. We also called for dermal fillers to be made prescription-only substances in line with Botox, but ministers have ruled this out. In our opinion, body piercing and tattooing must come under this new regulation too. Right now, licensing is decided by local councils, leading to different standards across the country. The current registration process is intended to protect members of the public from the transmission of blood-borne viruses such as HIV, hepatitis B, hepatitis C, and other infections. However, registration is a simple process with no requirement to provide proof of qualifications. A new compulsory licensing scheme would ensure that both clients and practitioners are adequately protected by a reliable national standard. The consultation on this important new national scheme closed last month, so I questioned the government on what it will do next to speed up the introduction of a new regime in England. By comparison, in Wales, a statutory licensing scheme, initially covering four special procedures, is expected to come into force in the summer of 2024. The licensing scheme in England must be introduced without any further delay. Anyone interested in the issue can find my webpage with various links at stevebryan.com/Westminster. Finally, can I say a huge well done to everyone involved in getting Winchester Christmas City looking so splendid as we prepare for the season of goodwill with a little retail thrown in for good measure. The High Street looks great and we thoroughly enjoyed our first, albeit chilly, trip to the Christmas market last weekend while in town celebrating my daughter's 16th birthday. Where did that time go? You can follow more of my work via my Facebook page, fb.com/Steve Bryan MP. That's all one word, Steve Bryan MP.
And Belle Garum has a punchy piece this week, looking from an alternative point of view. Tell us more, Hilary. Thank you.
This is entitled Karate Challenges. A Winchester karate club is nearing its fundraising target after completing a unique challenge. Winchester Karate Club overcame the 100 Karate Kata Challenge for Children in Need on Sunday, November the 19th. The 100 Kata is an intense karate routine that takes between 2 and 3 hours to complete. It was completed by Nazarene Myberg, Ronald Duff and Nigel Hosking. By Monday, November the 27th, £495 had been raised, just £5 short of the club's target of £500. The club is based at Winchester Tennis Club in Berwick Road in Wick and is run by Mr. Hosking from Titchfield. On a Just Giving page, the club said, "The Children in Need charity's aim is to improve the lives of thousands of children by ensuring that their childhood is safe, happy and secure. They want to give every child the chance to reach their full potential in life. Winchester Karate Club, or WKC, is kindly sponsored by Winchester Tennis Racket and Fitness Club, the WTRFC, and monthly funds raised by WKC are donated to Naomi House Children's Hospice. Last year, they raised £572. To donate, visit justgiving.com/page/Nigel-Hosking-169-866-209-8958. And that's accompanied by a photograph of the participants, Ronald Duff, Nazarene Myberg and Nigel Hosking.
Thank you. Now, let's take a look at what's on in the region over the next couple of weeks. What have we got? On Wednesday, the 6th of December, there's Christmas at Abbey House guided tour, an opportunity to visit Abbey House, the official residence of the Mayor of Winchester. After a tour around the principal rooms, enjoy a glass of mulled wine and mince pies with the Mayor. Gosh. That's at the Guildhall, Winchester, at the Broadway, and you can contact them on 01962 840500. That's 840500. That's on Wednesday the 6th. It's at 2:30 p.m. and the tickets are £15. Then on Saturday the 9th, St Nicholas concert with the Wayne Fleet Singers. This is at it's a festive concert at Winchester Cathedral. It's at 7:30 and tickets are £15. And there's a few Christmas carols coming up. On Saturday the 9th of December at St Bartholomew's Church in Winchester at 7:30, tickets are £12. A new production of Dickens' classic, A Christmas Carol, join Marley, Tiny Tim and the Ghosts of Christmas Past, Present and Future as they teach Scrooge the true meaning of Christmas. Tickets for that are available from Karen at 01962 850956, and on Monday the 11th of November, December, gosh, where's the time going? Christmas Carol, we're at the Theatre Royal this time, 7:30, tickets are £17. Live on stage and in person, television favourites Colin Baker and Peter Purvis lead the cast in a new adaptation of Charles Dickens' classic. The Theatre Royal box office is 01962 840 440. That's 840 440. And on Thursday the 14th of December, Green Matthews, they blend voices and instruments to create a bewitching musical version of A Christmas Carol. That's at Turner Sims Concert Hall in Southampton. Tickets for that one range from £10 to £20 and can be obtained on 02380 595151, 02380 595151. And more music with Christmas with Southern Voices on Saturday the 16th of December at 7:30. They Southern Voices present our annual Christmas concert, the stunning medieval setting of the Chapel of St Cross in Winchester. They are supporting Macmillan Cancer Support, and tickets for that are £18 and available from info@southernvoices, all one word, .co.uk. There's quite a lot going on, isn't there? And now here are the lighting up times. On Saturday the 2nd of December, the sun will set at 4:01 p.m. and on Wednesday the 6th of December, the sun will rise at 7:53 a.m. and will set at 3:59 p.m. And now on to items of general news. Paul, would you like to kick us off, please?
Yes. Call to ban wet wipes. Southern Water has backed government proposals on banning wet wipes. Views on the manufacture, sale and supply of wet wipes containing plastics could be provided until Saturday, November the 25th. The water provider believes that the ban of wet wipes will provide positive benefits to the environment and support consumers to make environmentally sustainable choices. So far this year, Southern Water has cleared 20,080 blockages, of which nearly 40% were wet wipes and similar sanitary items. Wet wipes and moist wipe products such as moist toilet tissue are used for a range of hygiene and other purposes, but cause problems for the environment. Most wet wipes do not break down in water and are often disposed of incorrectly. Alongside fats, oils and grease, wet wipes are a frequent cause of sewer blockages, causing pollution and flooding. Wipes marketed as flushable, which are intended to break down in the sewer, often shed fibres or, for those containing plastics, slowly break down into microplastics, risking pollution to land, rivers and sea. Anne-Marie MacDonald, Head of Operational Planning and Improvement at Southern Water, says, "We welcome the government's consultation on banning wet wipes containing plastic. The plastic in wet wipes is polluting our environment, blocking our sewers and contaminating our waterways. They are one of the biggest causes of blockages in sewers and at wastewater treatment works."
Stores for Centre. Two partner stores will be opening alongside Sports Direct inside the Brooks Shopping Centre. USC and Game are both coming to Winchester as part of the new Sports Direct on the lower floor of the Brooks. All three brands, owned by Frasers Group, will be opening before Christmas, with contractors busy transforming the premises formerly occupied by New Look, ready for its new tenants. Simon Turpin, director and asset manager, said, "It would be great to have Game back in Winchester, and likewise USC is still a great brand, selling very popular products, and will help bring lots of new shoppers to the Brooks." Clothes retailer USC sells popular brands such as Hugo Boss, Tommy Hilfiger, Lacoste, Levi's and Calvin Klein. Game, which sells products such as video games, consoles and accessories, closed in Winchester High Street in 2012 when the company went into administration. The business agreed to a £52 million takeover by Sports Direct in 2019.
Fantastic show walks through history of shoes. A new exhibition focusing on how shoes have evolved throughout the ages has come to the Ark in Winchester. Shoes Inside Out features footwear from the past, dating back to 11 AD to the present. The exhibition explores how shoes have shaped and have been shaped by society throughout the years. The exhibition showcases historical shoes and boots from the Hampshire Cultural Trust's collection, with a selection having been specially x-rayed to show the designs and workings in a new light. Approximately 67 shoes are being displayed in the gallery at the Ark. Ruth James, a social history conservator who worked on the shoes featured in the exhibition, said, "We brought in a few pairs to fill in a few gaps, and we have a few loans as well, but the rest of the collection is from our main site at Chilcombe House. I spent several months working on them to get them ready for the exhibition, stabilising them, removing corrosion, removing any dust, and then working on how we're going to mount them." Of the shoes she worked on for the exhibition, Ruth said a pair of goth boots from 2009 took the longest to prepare due to containing modern materials which contain unknown ingredients, as well as a high number of metal details which required attention due to corrosion. She said, "I thought they were going to be the quick ones, but no, they took several weeks. The Wellington boot we have was very easy to prepare. All I had to do was dust it. Some of the shoes were quite difficult because some of them are made out of silk and I'm not a textile conservator." Ruth said that she thought the finished exhibition is fantastic. She continued, "I think the visitors will enjoy it for what it is. It goes from an archaeological bone skate to goth boots and everything in between. I think everyone will be able to take something away from it. I think everyone will have a story attached to the shoes they have at home they can relate back to.
Spotlight falls on Mum's work. A mother of two from Winchester is being featured on the television programme highlighting voluntary work. Jess Barker, age 24, will appear as part of ITV's Million Minutes campaign designed to boost volunteering, which will air on GMTV in December. She volunteers for Home Start Winchester, having first been referred to the charity at the age of 17. At the time, she was pregnant and living with her mum and boyfriend and was struggling with ADHD and depression. She was matched with a volunteer from the charity, Kay, who met her for weekly visits. Jess's confidence grew and she eventually enrolled in collage, undertaking a motorsports mechanics course after Kay introduced her to the 15-hour childcare funding scheme. Jess said, "I was confident, capable. I had a network of friends and I was doing a course in a subject I had always been interested in. For over 18 months, Kay was a huge support to me. It's hard to describe how much she helped me. When she told me one day that I no longer needed her, I cried. I felt like I was losing a family member. As much as I was devastated to see her go, I knew she would be moving on to another mum who needed her as much as I had. With a new partner, Jess fell pregnant with her son, and once again Kay was able to lend a hand to the young mum. Home Start enrolled Jess onto the nurturing programme. She then completed Home Start's wellbeing course and helped to create a handbook for future students and has begun to develop her own business as a mobile mechanic. Having completed her safeguarding training, she'll be volunteering at one of the charity's family groups. Jess said, "Volunteering also gives me the chance to say thank you for everything Home Start did for me. They gave me the confidence to create the life I wanted, and I'm now in a position where I can help other mums deal with whatever life throws at them. I stumbled out, by the way, in that it says that she eventually rolled in collage. That's how it's spelt. And I don't know whether that's supposed to be college.
I think it might be college.
There we are.
Thank you, Paul.
Taking flight for Neverland. The Hampshire National Trust venue has partnered with Great Ormond Street Hospital Children's Charity, GOSH, to transport visitors to Neverland this festive season. Internetner, near Alsford, has opened a magical trail for Christmas, inspired by J.M. Barrie's Peter Pan. By working with GOSH, the National Trust site has been able to help support the charity in providing a better future for seriously ill children. The Neverland festive set incorporates 11 real Christmas trees with fantasy elements such as crocodiles and fairies to create scenes like the Lost Boys Camp, Mermaid Lagoon, Tinkerbell's Tree and Captain Hook's Cabin. The recreations can be found across the house and grounds. Artwork by children from Great Ormond Street Hospital has also been displayed on a gallery wall inside the house and in the visitor reception area. The play team at Great Ormond Street Hospital said, "It was a great icebreaker, with one family for whom English is not their first language, and they have even gone out and bought their child a onesie to match his drawing of Michael, as well as a copy of the book." The Hinton Ampler team first approached the charity with the idea in June. All the teams, including rangers, gardeners, volunteers, managers and staff from the cafe and house, have pulled together over the past 3 weeks to bring the vision to life. Michaela Saunders Hall, operations manager, said, "It looks amazing and magical. We really hope all the generations enjoy it, capturing the wonder in kids and the nostalgia in adults. It was really important for us to have this partnership with Great Ormond Street. Claire Skinner, Senior Visitor Experience Lead, said, "This is a lovely example of all our different teams coming together. We have particularly enjoyed bringing stories to life. It works really well with the house here. It's just so special. It's a different experience and it's a great place for people to make memories that they will keep with them."
Sacked doctor pulls out of unfair dismissal case. A doctor sacked by the hospital he worked at for decades has pulled out from an unfair dismissal claim, stating the employment tribunal system is corrupt and broken. Following a party held by his former patients and colleagues, maternity consultant and obstetrician Martin Pittman announced that he will not be pursuing his cases against Hampshire Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust, or HHFT, any further. The Winchester consultant of 20 years, who believes he was fired by HHFT earlier this year for whistleblowing on concerns of patient and staff safety, has branded the employment tribunal system as deeply flawed. The announcement follows a month on from the doctor's tribunal loss, where his claims that he suffered a detriment due to exercising rights under the Public Interest Disclosure Act were unanimously dismissed at Southampton Magistrates Court. A separate claim of unfair dismissal was due to be addressed at a later hearing, but will no longer go ahead. Broadchurch actor Sarah Parrish attended the celebration of the superhero held for Martin Pittman at Winchester Rugby Club on Saturday, November the 25th. The local actor presented £2,000 raised by members of the Friends of Martin Pittman Facebook group for him and his wife to go on holiday. Many families who've received care from Mr. Pittman gathered to show their support, contributing to a photo wall, stalls and a raffle. Ms. Parrish said that the consultant saved her and her daughter's life and said without him there would be no Murray Parish Trust or the more than £7 million the charity has raised for Southampton's Children's Hospital. After the party, Mr. Pittman posted on X, formerly known as Twitter, "I now need to get my life back, to force some form of closure and to revert to a normal existence and family life." Mr. Pittman, 57, was due to sit on a whistleblowing and healthcare panel in the House of Lords committee room on Wednesday, the November the 29th. The aim of the meeting is to end the cycle of abuse experienced by whistleblowers. In a separate post, the obstetrician said, "Now that the legal shackles have been removed, the gloves are well and truly off. Believe me, this is very, very far from over."
Head teachers do not support detectors to find knives. Head teachers across Hampshire don't support using metal detectors in schools to find pupils carrying knives, believing it could cause overreaction, increase anxiety, and promote fear in secondary students. Last month, every secondary school in London was being offered knife wand metal detectors in the wake of fatal stabbings of teenagers Eliane Andam and Tay Fallafeg. During Hampshire County Council's full meeting on November the 9th, Labour Councillor Alex Crawford asked Councillor Steve Foster, Executive Member for Education, if the administration would support similar measures in Hampshire. He asked, "Will you support every secondary school and college in Hampshire in asking Hampshire and Isle of Wight Constabulary for knife wands to screen for weapons on their premises?" In response, Councillor Forster said that the education inclusion team contacted head teachers about the topic and they were not supporting the initiative since Hampshire is not London and it could cause overreaction, increase students' anxiety and promote feeling of fear. He said head teachers that we have raised this topic with would not support the action of supplying knife screening. We do, of course, remain vigilant and will continue to work with school leaders and the constabulary.
Five worst junctions. These are the five most dangerous road junctions in the Winchester area, according to Chronicle readers. We asked on Facebook, in your opinion, where is the most dangerous road junction in our area? And were flooded with more than 100 responses. London Road, Carlton Horses Junction, Kingsworthy, was the most popular answer by far. Many readers took to Facebook to voice their concerns. This junction, which turns onto the particularly busy Winchester bypass, can be a hassle, especially at rush hour. One reader said, "Nothing seems to work so far. It needs either a roundabout or traffic lights. Human error is too easy and fatalities keep happening because of lack of understanding or impatience." The second most commented was the Whinnall roundabout, particularly the entrance from Eastern Lane. Third was Oliver's Battery Roads junction onto Badger Farm Road. Hairstock Lane onto Wellhouse Lane has a similar layout to the infamous Carlton Horses Junction, so it is not surprising to see it appear on the list. And the Lidl roundabout Eastleigh, while not in Winchester, was put forward by many readers, saying that with its large number of exits, this roundabout can be difficult to get onto at busy times of the day.
Pupils signing up to be young reporters. Schools are actively signing up their students for the Young Reporter Scheme short course. The scheme is being launched now in readiness for the start at the beginning of January. This is a four-month journalism programme for students from school years 10 to 13. Similar to the full programme, students have to write one article per month and every article is published on NewsQuest's range of online newspapers. NewsQuest is the publisher of the Hampshire Chronicle. This gives students the opportunity to build a portfolio of published work for use with their CVs and UCAS applications. Because this programme is shorter in time than the full course, which starts every September, it allows those schools who have not been involved with this programme to do a four-month taster from January to April. By participating in this course, they are not just learning theories, but are actively engaging in the world of media, improving their writing skills, honing their research skills, and writing articles that potentially can impact a real audience. Liz Poole from Headington School, who took part in the scheme for the first time last year, said, "All the students were really engaged by the short Young Reporter Scheme, so much so they came to me personally at the start of the academic year to secure a place on the full scheme. It was great to see how this extracurricular endeavour had fired their imagination and interest. For those who are keen to pursue this type of career, the scheme can fast-track students onto the four-year degree apprenticeship programme, which is open to all students from 16 plus who are no longer in full-time education."
Do Chancellor's sums add up? Hampshire residents and business leaders have welcomed some changes in the autumn statement, but many believe it's still not enough. Chancellor of the Exchequer announced key changes, including national insurance rate cut from 12% to 10%, benefits to rise in line with inflation, alcohol duty frozen until next August, national living wage for over 21s will increase from £10.42 to £11.44 an hour, state pension to rise 8.5%. New business owners, Ellie Brenchley and Dallin Limon, are preparing to open a barber shop in Walcott Place in early December. The couple believe the changes aren't enough to encourage other independent businesses to open. Engineer Simon Gaffney, 40, from Central Winchester, said, "I know so many people who are losing their businesses at the moment. Personal tax has just got ridiculous. Energy prices and everything else too. I can't afford to run my business in Winchester, even though I live here." Dave and Mel Edmonds, who were visiting Winchester for the day from Waterlooville, said, "It's a shame they haven't cut the inheritance tax." Elizabeth Neves, who lives in sheltered housing in Gordon Road, said, "People go on about the poor pensioners, but I don't think we really do that badly." Hampshire Chamber of Commerce Chief Executive Ross McNally said the budget was better than expected. The Chancellor has heeded calls from many in the business community, including ourselves, to create a more favourable environment for investment and growth. And it's about time after the economic shocks we have seen and the challenges we continue to face. Michaela Johns, director of Hampshire-based HWB Chartered Accountants, said, "The Chancellor cutting national insurance contributions for the self-employed, who many call the backbone of this country, is to be applauded. However, tax remains at a 70-year high." Finally, Jeff Cooper, a Liberal Democrat spokesman for Romsey and Southampton North, said, "This is a budget full of pre-election sweeteners. Many people will see less of their earnings going to the government next year. However, most will not feel better off because this is set against a background of rising food and fuel prices and swingeing increases in mortgages."
Charity will plant 3 miles of new hedging. With more than half of England's rural hedgerows having been lost since 1945, a flagship project has been launched to plant 3 miles of new hedging. The Hampshire Hedge Project was launched by the Countryside Charity on Tuesday, November the 21st, on the Compton Farm Estate just outside Winchester. Ecology students on a land management course were joined by more than 80 guests for the hedge planting task. Hampshire Hedgerow Project Officer Ellie Banks said, "It is great to be starting the planting element of the project. Our target is to plant 3 miles of new hedging this year, which is 25,000 whips going into the ground this winter. We will also be laying half a mile of existing hedge. Hedge laying involves the cutting and weaving together of saplings to encourage dense new growth at the base. They intermingle to form a natural barrier which provides food and shelter for birds and animals. The 3-year project will connect the South Downs National Park with the New Forest National Park with a network of hedgerows, creating new and restored habitat and acting as a green corridor said to be vital for nature. The project will engage with local communities and schools and create hedge-laying apprenticeships, encouraging people to volunteer. It will also run training days, raising awareness of the importance of hedgerows. Managers believe that by linking the two national parks together, an important landscape and wildlife feature is created that can form a part of the nature recovery strategy for the county."
Pub to reopen for the first time in 2 years. A Hampshire country pub will reopen next year after an extensive refurbishment. The Chestnut Horse in Easton will open in January following a 2-year closure. Avington Park bought the pub last year and had planning permission granted in June for the work. The investment aims to bring the 16th century pub back to its former glory with bedrooms and a revamped shop with deli. The previous shop, in a chalet in the car park, had also closed. It will be under the management of Jacob Riggs. He said, "I am excited to be on board at the Chestnut Horse as we near the completion of our extensive refurbishment. I am very much looking forward to welcoming guests from January, ensuring that the pub is once again a roaring success as a place for locals to catch up over a pint with friends, enjoy special occasions, or simply pop by for a freshly baked loaf of bread. The new village shop and deli will offer everyday grocery goods, fresh takeaway items, or dishes to heat and eat at home. The pub has had a fairly checkered history after a previous landlord, Andrew Caldwell, left in 2020. The most recent landlords were the Bodle family in 2021.
Pub's licence is surrendered. Winchester's one and only nightclub has been forced to surrender its licence after a cannabis factory was found inside. Winchester City Council officers called an emergency subcommittee meeting on Wednesday, the 22nd of November, after police discovered the cannabis growing inside Vodka nightclub in the early hours of the November the 23rd. Committee members decided to suspend the premises licence and remove the designated premises supervisor order. This is supported by the licence holder. A spokesman for the City Council said this negates the need for a full review hearing in December. any future tenant will be required to apply for a new premises licence should they wish to provide licensable activities. Vodka nightclub and bar in Upper Brook Street closed in May for a summer refurbishment but never reopened. Officers discovered a large number of cannabis plants at various stages of growth. All will be seized and destroyed once an investigation is carried out. 54-year-old man from Winchester was arrested on suspicion of producing a controlled drug of Class B and acquiring, using, possessing criminal property. He's been bailed with conditions until the 20th of February, while police inquiries continue.
A zoo has turned into a magical wonderland of lights as its sparkling festive event has returned. Glow Marwell is back with more than 500,000 lights, snow and new illuminations. The event, held at Marwell Zoo in Colding Common, sees the attraction open after hours to allow visitors to wander around a 1.7k route on the 140-acre site. It is a popular event and has been held at the zoo for the past few years, but organisers say this year's event is more interactive, more magical and more immersive than ever before. Nikki Cole, senior event manager, said, "We worked incredibly hard to bring all the magic and wonder of the festive season to this year's Glow Marwell event, and we're excited to be sharing it with guests for a second year. We're delighted to be welcoming Father Christmas's Grotto back for the first time since the pandemic, and we know he and his helpers will be doing everything they can to spread some cheer. All of our lights are themed around enchanted nature this year, so let your imaginations run wild and enjoy experiencing Marwell in a different light. There are stepping stones that change colour, light walls that create shadow shapes, a rainbow road, an enchanted tree, a 36-metre multicoloured light tunnel and woodland projections. There are illuminated seesaws and moon chairs, as well as plenty of photo opportunities, including illuminated wings, nutcracker guard huts, shadow play and light arches, as well as falling snow, Christmas trees and marshmallow toasting. There is a magical wishing tree inside the gift shop, and Father Christmas will also be in his grotto on selected dates. For those hoping to indulge their taste buds as well as their eyes, there are a variety of food options ranging from festive buns and snacks at Cafe Grey's to candy floss donuts and German sausages courtesy of Freeman's Amusements. Premium nights will have an added dash of magic in the form of roaming performers. This year's event promises more than 500,000 LED bulbs, the UK's first glowing seesaws, and hundreds of gently glowing flowers. Lasers, projections, uplighters and fire pits are designed to complete an ambiance of tranquil wonder, magic and fantasy for all ages. And that event runs from 4pm till 8pm with the last entry at 6pm, and it runs until December the 30th.
Homestart Quiz Night raises more than £3,000. Homestart Winchester's annual quiz night was packed with 19 teams, helping the family support charity to raise more than £3,000. Martin Thompson was quizmaster with a set of questions created by Mike Davies. Homestart patron Alistair Stewart was on hand to present Sarah Peters from Upsonbourne with her Week in the Algarve raffle prize, donated by John and Chrissy Barlow. The winning quizzes were a team from Itchenabbas, led by Suzanne McLeod, who were presented with their bubbly prizes by Homestart Winchester chairman Stephanie Durant. As always, a great ploughman's and fudge brownies laid on by Joe Tyler, said fundraising events chairman Chrissy Barlow. Big thanks must go to all the events team for their hard work on the night, especially Tim and Ben for the muscle. Over £3,000 is a wonderful total.
Talks tackled speed concerns. Hampshire residents are continuing to demand traffic calming measures to deal with chronic speeding. People living on Petersfield Road have been recording a large number of speeding vehicles. While the street has a 20 miles per hour limit, cars have been doing speeds averaging 36 miles per hour. While there have been no fatal crashes, residents at the meeting said there had already been instances of parked cars being damaged by speeding vehicles and wing mirrors being snapped off. Residents have approached Hampshire County Council with proposals for potential traffic calming measures along the road. They included repainting the white 20 mile per hour roundels and the construction of raised platforms at the junction of the path to Quarry Road, where there is also a bus stop, and towards the junction of Fifields Road. Other proposals include painting yellow zigzags at the entrance of the car park of All Saints Church, which connects to All Saints Preschool, and a speed limit reminder. However, the residents said that the County Council had told them their proposals would be too resource intensive to undertake. So on Friday, November the 24th, a meeting was called in the Mansi Room at All Saints Church to discuss next steps. Alongside residents also, there were Steve Brine, Member of Parliament, and County Councillor for Eastgate, Dominic Hiscock. At the meeting, the proposal was discussed with Mr. Brine and Councillor Hiscock, giving suggestions on how the campaign should proceed to get the proposals introduced. Richard Long, who led the meeting, told us, "I think the meeting was very positive and supportive. It was also realistic in terms of the likelihood of success of getting some action. The County Council finance, or lack of it, is a major problem, but this is a problem we've been trying to resolve for the last 2.5 years. Some of the elements that we are asking for to reduce speed along the road and safety, in terms of white roundels being repainted and yellow lines outside the school, are not a huge cost. The traffic calming is another measure. A recent online petition signed by more than 120 local residents was also discussed." Steve Brine said the residents have established there is a problem, everyone can see it, and they've got a big number of residents who have signed a petition saying they want change. "Today was about bringing people together and brainstorming ideas about where to go next to try to force that change."
Ballet dance stars sparkle and shine. Hundreds of dance school pupils aged between 6 months and 13 years took to the stage across three packed shows when Stars Ballet's Sparkle and Shine show took place recently at Thorndon Hall in Eastleigh. It featured children from classes which take place in the Westgate School in Winchester, Granger Farm Sports Park and Romsey Primary School, as well as locations in Chandlersford, Loxheath, Sarsbury, West End, Whiteley and across Hampshire. Cheryl Dodd, who runs the school, said, "It was magical. The children were all so excited. There was a mix of feelings, excitement, nerves and pride when they finished. They are all buzzing about the show. The parents and grandparents who came to watch were so proud. They were in awe of the children and what they had achieved. It was amazing and so lovely to see. The dance school puts on two shows per year, one in November and one in April."
Santa's on start line for City Run. The Santa Fun Run will be returning to Winchester City Centre this weekend. Naomi House and Jack's Place, local hospices for children and young adults, will welcome hundreds of Santas to the annual 5 kilometre fundraising event on Sunday, December the 3rd. Dressed in Santa suits, the runners will begin with a festive Zumba warm-up at 8:55 a.m. before taking on the route through the city and past a number of Winchester's most famous attractions from 9 a.m. The race then finishes outside the Guildhall in a flurry of artificial snow. The event will see the Broadway close to traffic from 6 a.m. to 12 noon. At time of writing, other road closures were yet to be announced. Naomi House and Jack's Place provides expert hospice care for children and young adults who have complex care needs. They support more than 550 families across central southern England. Earlier this year, Charlotte Patrick, events team leader for Naomi House, said, "We are extremely excited that our Santa Fun Run is returning to Winchester. It is our jolliest event of the year, with hundreds of Santas running the streets." The fundraising efforts from the runners so far have been amazing. Everyone who takes part or who supports a participant with sponsorship really helps to make a difference for the children, young adults and their families here at Naomi House and Jack's Place.
Group's first panto is no longer behind you. An amateur theatre group marking its 50th anniversary will be recreating its first ever production for this year's pantomime. Rehearsals are in full swing and the finishing touches are being made to the costumes and scenery as the worthy players prepare to perform at Whittington. The updated script by TLC Creative, by arrangements with Lazy Bee Scripts, promises all the fun, laughter and gags you would expect from a pantomime, with goodies to cheer on, baddies to boo, and the panto dame. The worthy players have put on a panto or Christmas show every year, apart from during lockdown, when an online panto was performed. The group's 50th birthday celebrations this year have included a party for members, former members and supporters in July, and a production of the 1970s classic Some Mothers Do Have 'Em in May. This year's panto, first performed by the players in 1973, tells the story of the penniless but plucky Dick Whittington, his trusty feline sidekick Tiddles, and their quest for fame and fortune in London, where the streets are paved with gold. His escapades take him on to the high seas and into battle with the villainous Queen Rat. The group has spent months rehearsing and painting and preparing the scenery. The team has made an array of bright and colourful costumes, especially for the dame, who has four costume changes throughout the performance. Barbara Cairns, here present, who plays Dick Whittington, said, "I'm so excited about the panto. I love the silliness and the buzz of the audience reaction. The huge amount of work goes into the production. It's not just not people on stage. There's a big crew backstage, front of house, working on the scenery, the costumes and the props. On performance days, there are people working front of house, giving out programmes, selling raffle tickets, managing the door and running the bar. Everybody in the group plays their part. We're really looking forward to a fun night. A fun first night." Director Cy Gates said, "If you're looking for action, comedy, songs, dances, romance and rats with hats, then come and join us for what will be a show to remember. The panto starts on Friday, December the 1st, tonight, as I read, at 7:30 p.m. at Jubilee Hall in Kingsworthy, with further performances on December the 2nd, 8th and 9th, with a matinee on Saturday, December the 2nd at 2:30 p.m. Tickets, £10 for adults and £8 for seniors."
Thank you. Thank you for the plug. Well, I'm sorry to say that's all we have for you this week. When you've finished with the recording, please put the memory stick back in the wallet, place the correct address label on the front of the wallet and return it as soon as possible. Thanks to all the support teams for the preparation and dispatch of this edition. And of course, many thanks to our readers, Nick Kearns.
Goodbye.
Hilary Parsons.
Goodbye.
And Paul Newman.
Goodbye.
And from me, Barbara Kearns, thank you for listening. And until the next time, goodbye and have a great week.